So you just released your new album?
Yep.
Okay, and Frank Cesano, rhythm guitar. I would say extraordinaire, but I'd be lying extremely.
So. And design.
That's up to your audience to judge.
Album design.
Yeah, well, that's neither here nor there. Oh, well, for the album, yeah.
But it's Frankie designed the cover of the album.
Yes, yeah. He did.
This is about the music, not the artistic design.
Cesano,
extraordinaire.
Music is artistic. You're multi-talented, so thank you.
So we're talking about the music, though. Yeah, I mean, so I'm guitarist. I'm going to go Joey. Tell him what you do.
Joey Calvary, lead vocal.
That's all you have to say?
Oh, yeah. How I'm feeling today? How I feel about the album?
I'm really pumped about everything that's come out with the album. I'm really excited about it. I think it turned out a lot, like, crazier and awesome than I was expecting it to, like, when we first kicked it in, and it just ended up becoming this big artistic blow-up, so I was actually really, really kind of excited about it. Especially with Rob. Like, Rob did such an amazing job mixing the album and, you know, producing it.
That's a fantastic job.
Yeah, Brady Cat Studios.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Tommy Mitchell, drums, Chop Buster,
yeah.
A little bit of everything, jack of all trades, master of none, of course. How I feel about the album, it's the best thing I've ever done. I don't know, it's pretty overwhelming the way it came out and the response we've had from people so far. It's only been a month. Definitely... pleasantly surprised.
My name is Louis Larocco, and I play guitar and make as much noise as I possibly can, and I make fun of everybody else at all times.
Mostly me.
Mostly Howard. And now it's Howard's turn. How are you, Howard?
Thank you. Howie Blatz, bass, bag of vocals, and pretty much the Meg of the band.
No, come on. You are not Meg. You're more like at least
and
a Chris.
Yes, I share feelings with Tommy, what he was saying before. Like, ever since the release of this album, like, the overwhelming just support, positive feedback, it's been amazing. And, hell, hope it continues.
So tell me, what goes into the process of making this particular CD, or making any first album? How do you choose your songs? What emotions do you put into this album?
Well, you know, let me just say...
You don't have to answer counterclockwise.
All right.
You really don't. You just have to introduce yourself counterclockwise.
Yeah, look at Dave. I do this to everybody all the time. I cut everyone off as the loud Brooklyn Italian. Anyway, I think that what I was going for was just something fun and energetic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even though we have some balance in it, they still have energy. And
mm-hmm.
I try to keep as much balance as possible in what I play anyway, because I think that we're in some serious times, obviously, and everybody's a little, you know, I think people are taking themselves way too seriously, and I was trying not to do that, because
mm-hmm.
I don't know how to take myself serious. Yeah, well, I try not to take myself seriously ever.
I think
Oh, yeah.
But,
so what's your favorite song on the album?
It's really difficult to pick one, because, you know, I mean, you know, as an artist, you have a love for everything that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came out really, really excellent. I couldn't pick one.
Okay, but
I would say probably I like Wreck Myself. That's one of my favorites.
Can somebody tell me about the history of Wreck Myself? Because I think everybody can identify the self-destructive pattern.
That was
all of
actually the first song that we wrote from scratch since I joined the band.
Wow.
They had most of them written before I had joined.
Yeah.
So
it was the first one we all did together, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we did it all there.
When
too,
I had first joined the band, we were finishing up Prim. Like, you had it started already, and I came in at about the halfway point.
Right.
Actually, no, I'm lying, because we did Juice afterwards also.
Oh, yeah.
Which
we
took about a year to write.
I think we counted out Wreck Myself first, though. I think Wreck Myself came out pretty fast.
Yes.
So.
Wreck Myself came out in, like, a day.
Yeah.
Like, there's some songs... Sometimes songs, like, you need a month, 2 months, something like that, to fully hammer it out, and then sometimes you'll come up with something on the top of your head and write the entire thing in a day. Wreck Myself is definitely one of those songs, and I don't know, I've just, in my experience, it seems like the things that you're able to just pull together and everything comes together immediately in that one day are going to be the ones that stand out among everything else. So.
Yeah, and just to say something about Juice, I'm going to be honest. Juice took about a year because, you know, someone in the band, not me, hated the song when we first wrote it, and I just had to keep beating it into their heads so they would like it, and it's just, you know, you guys can go online and try to figure out who it was, or maybe take votes or whatever, but I swear it wasn't me.
There's too many words in the chorus, right, Joe?
Yeah, to bring it back to your original question, you were talking about, like, the music and the emotion and everything. It's funny, because the guys come up with such fantastic licks all the time, and they come up with such something that's so, like, there's such an energy and a feeling and a mood-driven and everything that they do, and what I try to write something that reflects the mood. Like, when I do my song lyric writing, I always try to do something that reflects the mood a little bit, but also try to do something that's completely off-kilter rhythmically or something like that to kind of change it up a little bit. But mood-wise, I mean, the guys create such amazing, amazing mood music, and I'm a very moody character anyway. I'm very ADD, very bipolar, so I'm all over the place.
Which
so
is what I think we're all ADD, which is why it's incredible.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like our whole dynamic has been, if we can't finish a song in a day, it's going to take a while.
That's correct, actually. You're very correct, Howie.
What were the quickest songs in the album, other than Wreck Myself?
That's on these guys.
What was
Queen was fast.
Queen was
really
pretty
quick.
Queen was great. I love the
Yeah.
I like motif songs in general. Checkmate.
Lullaby was pretty quick too.
The thing about Queen though is it was the song that the guys brought me in to do. And so like it was Lou, Frankie, and Tommy wrote the song. They had that song. They were playing that. And I was looking for a band at the time. And when I went on to Craigslist, I found these guys on there. And they were like, dude, so they're looking for a front man. I was like, good, because I don't play instruments, so I'm going to need to do something that's like lead front man type of stuff. And so they sent me this song, Queen. And I was like, all right, this is cool. It's bouncy. It's fun. And this is the first song I wrote. When I sent it back to them, they were like, oh, I don't know about this guy. This guy's a little crazy. He's a little flaky. He's a little fruity. This guy's a little fruity. So, you know, because I'm a pretty quirky character. And so, like, I think at first they were kind of, like, a little hesitant about bringing me in. But it was actually the song that brought us together. Actually, it was Queen. It was the first song we did together.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a real history for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, is there, other than Queen, is there a song that you all feel a very emotional connection to, whether it's for writing or performing or anything like that?
That's a really hard question to answer because every single song we like rehearse so much and play so much and put so much time into refining. Even if a song got written in a day, it pretty much was like the refining process was like a very long process.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I mean, personally speaking from my standpoint, I'm like kind of connected to all of them. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily any one song. I don't hate any one song start with an L, but
and ends with an Y.
Ends with a Y. But I'm not gonna say anything. But no, I mean, I don't know. From my standpoint, it's difficult to choose like which one I enjoy more than another. So.
But I mean, is there a particular song that you guys have a fun story with? Whether something interesting happened at a performance on stage, or during rehearsal or anything like that. Just some background info for us. Yeah.
Just to say, I mean, you watched us just perform one of our new songs that we're writing. Well, besides cheating,
that's
the type of stuff that goes on at practice during every song.
Yeah.
And Tommy can tell you that he has to sometimes be the ringleader and tell us, guys, can we just be serious for 5 seconds?
Tommy's the daddy.
Not that he doesn't know how to have fun, but sometimes we, especially Lou and I, we get a little wacky from time to time.
We'll go a little overboard, and then you'll see the vein in Tommy's forehead starting to protrude. Okay, let's stop.
Yeah. I would say if I had to say like a weird story, I would say Prim.
Okay.
Prim was written. I wasn't even there. I had to miss a studio one night because I had something else to do, and Lou, Frank, and Joey decided to write a song without me there, and they sent it to me, and I wasn't there to play drums, so Mr. Lou LaRocco decided to play the drums on it, sent it to me. And I got to be honest, it wasn't terrible. Obviously, you know, it turned into a song, but it was pretty funny that the song was basically written. I wasn't even there. Then they kind of sent it to me. I put kind of my own flavor to it, but that song was pretty funny. And then obviously the lyrics with the call and response with the girl and stuff. You know, Joey was pretty clever. He had that written already. But Prim is actually, to me, that's funny because of the way it was written. You know, with you know, so Lou gets all the credit for that, the drums in that song.
Yeah, it's also weird because we're real, the song was written as a narrative about a guy and girl, and it's like a whole, through her point of view, has a lot of she says in it. And when people don't really catch that, song can sound a little weird.
Yeah, because...
with the ending lyrics,
yeah,
you know. So, like, so I started bringing girls in to do the song. It's actually been kind of a fun thing for us to do, is every once in a while, once the Blue Moon, we decide, like, we want to, like, do Prim, I'll find some... Like, because I'm surrounded by tons of great female performers, and so like I try to bring some in just to kind of like, you know, bust out the chops a little bit.
Do you mean have Megan Murphy and another girl performing?
No, like Megan Murphy was a friend of mine that I got to do the album. I've had Lucky Death Proof from Midnight Mob perform it. Katie Weber, who's in Rock of Ages, she's going to be, you know, performing it as well. So there's like a lot of different people that are. That, like, I have a lot of friends that can pull it out. Like, you know, Blackie's always been a gem. Like, she's, you know, she's been a good friend of mine. And,
yeah,
and so it's easy to use our good female talent for the record.
Speaking of Rock of Ages, you're on Broadway. Tell us about your Broadway experience. What's that?
It's just Broadway. It's a job. No, it's a lot of fun. It's an 80s hair rock, metal rock band. Musical. It's pretty funny. Anyway, go see it. It'll be fun.
Yeah, actually, I went to see it. It's an awesome play.
I still have to see it.
For people who like Broadway, it's good, and for people who just like rock music, and if you like, from a guy's point of view, if your girl's like, I want to go to Broadway, go see Rock of Ages. You're going to have a good time. You know?
Actually, to say about Rock of Ages, it's roughly about $130 for a ticket. So instead of doing that, buy 13 albums or a combination of albums and t-shirts. I mean, help us out.
Give them out to all your friends.
Broadway don't need the money.
That is true.
Yeah. No, but it's a fun gig. It is. It's an exciting way to be.
No, it really is a good show. It is a good show.
And it's really exciting. And they got the movie coming out now next month too. It's got everybody in it, so that should be pretty exciting.
So tell me about the recording process, the song creation process, just the music creation process. Is there somebody in particular that writes the lyrics, or do you write them all together? Does somebody write the music?
The guys write the music. I write the lyrics, but I can't do anything unless the guys write something. So basically, the guys create everything, and then I add the lyrics and like a little melody. But it begins with the boys. It begins with the boys making music, and then I try to throw some type of mood or mythology on top of it.
I would kind of say that we all kind of write the music together. Mm-hmm. You know, people come in with different ideas, and we kind of blend them all together.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
You know, it's kind of a collaboration, aside from, like I said, the lyrics, which Joey handles. But
the boys still mediate me with that, too, though. They're really good at, like, you know, checking me, like, oh, that's a little weird, Joey, you might want to change that. Like, you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I don't understand why you always have Howie in the corner staring at you awkwardly when you write the lyrics. It's still, it kind of creeps me out sometimes.
He said he can't write without that, so I'm just doing him a favor.
He's my muse. Howie's my muse.
Especially when he takes the shirt off the back.
That's
love it.
Speaking of music. Since you write lyrics for the band, is there a song that you particularly feel connected to because it came from personal experience? I understand that they probably all do.
Actually, no, there's a song that is actually really extremely dear to my heart.
What's that?
Stripper. That's very true. It is actually one of my favorite albums.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite songs on the whole album. But
that's
it's
true.
Like, you know, a lot of the stuff, like, you know, like In My Mind and Nothing Left to Say, I mean, they're based on basic... you know, instances in people's lives. I mean, it's like, you know, you take a couple different incidences with dealing with one person or sort of many different people that you've had relationships with, and you put them all into one moment or something like that. And that's kind of like what I did with the ballads. I mean, I'm not one to hear crying because, like, somebody cheated on me, like, nothing left to say, anything like that. It's just a basic type of human emotion that, like, you know, from different, you know, that kind of works with everything.
But it's definitely something that a broad spectrum of people can relate to.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I mean, I don't particularly write for my personal story or things like that. You know, I write,
I'd like to get fantastical on the things I like, but like when it comes to like being dark and brooding, I mean, I'm not very good at it.
White stripper then.
White stripper.
White stripper.
Why do I like
that
it?
One sends your tears.
I just because you know why? Because it's sexual. I mean,
it's usually what gets Howie to take his clothes off.
All right, so that's.
No, we tend to have a lot of sexual lyrics and sexual songs, and I think that that's a little vibe. We definitely got a very raw, raunchy, sexual vibe to us, and I think that it's a song that represents us really well. I think, and also it's like stripper's hot. It's a hot song. I mean,
it doesn't
with
hurt
the 1970s waka's in the middle, and pretty cool.
Waka waka.
We also strip. Is one of my favorites because live we get to have some beautiful girls come up on stage and dance.
I was gonna say, it doesn't hurt to have a bunch of beautiful women
in
the front row.
That definitely helps.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other songs? Okay, so stripper is a big favorite. What else?
Like I said before, they're all like you could tell when you come see us live. I could have fun to the ballads, you know, like
mm-hmm.
I could still move around and clap my hands and make stupid faces to the people in the front that I could see, you know, so they're all fun and they're all dear to me. I have a really hard time just picking and choosing.
Live, I would actually say I enjoy Juice because generally, like, I don't have a lot of money, so, like, I usually get a free drink out of it. So,
Joey
likes to come over and
pour a drink down
my throat. So that's good. I get a free drink out of it. It's awesome.
Yeah. I should go into Machine Elves. Because our band is called Machine Elves.
Yeah,
and a lot of people come up to us going...
Song. I love the sci-fi weird... Your world doesn't really exist part of it.
Yeah. It's the funny thing is that when we wrote the song, that was actually, the third song we wrote?
That was the first song we wrote musically, but...
it took me a little while to find something. It actually took me a long time to find something for it. And all of a sudden, I was kind of digging into Terrence McKenna, and he's this guy that did a lot of studies on dimethyltryptamine, which is in the pineal gland. It's a never-living thing, and they found ways to extract it and smoke it, and people that have done this, they compare it to dimensional travel or something like that, trips that go to, dimensional travel. And Terrence McKenna talks about this incident, this moment where he comes upon these beings, these entities, and they're bouncing around, and it's like these. And he's like, I don't know what to call them. I call them these little machine elves. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool, you know. So I wrote the song based on that. And then I told the guys the song was called Machine Elves, and the guys go, that's the name of our band.
Yeah.
Machine Elves. It's hard. It's work. I was like, oh yeah, that's totally. That's pretty much it.
Oh man, if I could remember some of the names we went through.
Oh, I was gonna say, a couple of band names we were gonna call the band.
That's it.
Before Machine Elves.
Okay.
Chelsea's Ashes, everyone.
This is the first time I've heard
this. This before we had
Howie. Yellow was better.
That was called Rocket Ship to Pluto. We were almost called Rocket Ship to Pluto.
Gee, I wonder whose fault that was.
It's no longer a planet.
And he came up with it. Was it before?
It was before.
Before what?
It was before
after Pluto was no longer
it
planet.
Must have been.
Oh, it was right after.
Right after.
What's the emo? I don't remember.
What's the emo one?
I think Pluto's the Roman Hades.
So now that takes Hades out of the mix now.
We had a few emo names.
Rocket Ship 2.
Hell.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we did have... I was pushing for...
That's like when you sing...
Lucifer Lounge. I really like that one.
That's like when you record
like Lucifer's Lounge, but it's Lucifer.
Get it?
I think we went with the right name.
Settled
on the right
Trumpet
name.
On the ceiling.
Were there any names Trumpet
on
the
wall.
Automatically said no to?
Oh, you so many. You don't even...
I don't even remember.
I threw the list out, but it was hundreds of names that we were just on the phone. It was like one of the ones that got shot down right away with Memories of No One. It was like score through.
Yeah, that's got emo band written.
Oh yeah,
it was a little on the corny side.
We had a lot of corny names. Please, yeah.
This one seems to be just perfect.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
it's for us. It's perfect.
It's for us. Yep.
It's kind of like we were sitting there for weeks and weeks, and we were saying, what do we call this album? What do we call it? We had millions of different ideas and names, and who knows, they were all terrible. And then
we actually, just to cut you off for a second, Lou had a pretty funny idea originally, he was talking about, I think it was either Lou or Frank, they were talking about naming the album self-titled, like not Machino, but just self-titled.
That's cool.
That was my idea.
Yeah, it was Frank.
Okay. He's always giving my ideas to Lou.
We were at Lou's house, I don't know if it was for a barbecue or something, and Frank came up with it in the backyard. He said, what if we call the band Fancy Suit, the album Fancy Suit the Cigarette?
Which sounds good.
And then I got in touch with Joey. It's actually, I don't know, it kind of goes with the kind of look we wanted
Prim,
to,
yes,
and
yeah,
it's also a line pull from Prim. You came up with it, so you could...
Like he said, we were trying to come up with names, and they weren't always working. Then I said self-titled, and Tommy was like, gong, hate it. And I was like, no. He's like, we're going to have an album Machine Elves. We're called Machine Elves, and the song is Machine Elves. I was like, no. I mean, like, self-titled. And then that got voted out.
We also had Welcome to the New Dimension, which is a little corny.
Oh, yeah, that was corny, too. But then we were like, let's just pull a line from a song and Fancy Suits to Cigarettes right from Prim, and it just worked. So
that's cool.
That was a good one.
Which later led to the whole album art of the bedroom door.
Yes, exactly. That was a fun experience.
So, in watching you guys rehearse, I noticed that you have this very easy chemistry with each other. You seem very close. You laugh a lot together. Do you spend a lot of time together outside of practice?
I wish we spent more time together.
Yeah.
I just laugh because I find them more funny.
See, the sad part is, like, myself, Tommy, and Frank, we have day jobs for the most part, whereas Joey works on Broadway, he doesn't get out till 10:30, and Lou works a graveyard shift, so it's really hard to get the five of us in the same room together. Like, actually, Wednesday, our normal practice day, is the only day off Joey has the entire week, and he's sacrificing it for the band. So, it's really hard for all of us to hang out, except when we're playing shows, aside from that.
Yeah, I mean, we get enough fun then. Sometimes we go out and we promote or whatever, and we go out and see shows and stuff together. But yeah, we don't hang out as much as I'm sure we'd all like to. But hopefully that'll change.
If you guys keep buying albums, then, you know,
we'll be hanging out
every day. We'll be hanging out every day.
We'll
hang
out all the time.
And you guys have a show coming up, don't you?
We have many shows coming up.
Oh, yes.
Sure. You guys don't want to know about the shows anyway.
I would like to.
The guys don't even know about the shows that are booked. I'm going to let you guys know. We have May 19th in Coney Island at Tattoo Shop Lounge for Rock Against Dystrophy. It's a benefit for the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation, which is really cool. We've done it a couple of times. We actually know the guys that are running it. Very cool, and we're very happy to be a part of it. The week after, May 26th, we're at Ollie's Point in Long Island. That's with a couple of cool bands also. Then June 8th is a very big show for us in Manhattan at the Bitter End, and that we need all the support we can. So everybody hearing this, come out, check it out. We're going to have some surprises,
maybe some new songs.
Who knows who's going to be there. Then June 15th, we have a show in Connecticut at a place called The Room. I've heard a lot of good things about the place. I don't really, never been there. But then we have June 27th, we're playing Fontana's with Torrin Green from Fuel and Apocalyptica. We're opening for them. That's going to be cool. We go on pretty early, 8 o'clock, so it's a Wednesday night. So just go out for a happy hour and then come out and see us. Then we have July 12th. I told you we have a lot.
Oh, yeah.
At the R Bar in Manhattan. That's also with a couple of friends. We just actually booked that tonight. And then we have August 29th. We're doing something really cool August 29th. We're playing Local 269, but we're doing an acoustic show. It's the first time we ever did that before. And we got the idea brought to us to do a whole set acoustic. And I brought it to the guys, and we just thought it was a pretty cool idea. We're going to try it out. If it bombs, it bombs. hopefully some really good news to announce in the next week or so about some touring that we might be doing across the country, on the West Coast, on the East Coast. We don't have anything definite yet, but, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed. We really want to get this album out to as many people as possible. That's the whole idea. We really all believe in it. And, you know, these guys want to do this. We all want to do this. And we're going to do it.
We actually also have a potential show at Madison Square Garden, but that depends on how many albums we sell.
That's it. Womp womp.
No, actually, wait. Bomb bomb.
Yeah,
you can make fun of it all you want, but you know you'd love to play there too.
Are you kidding me?
Now, Lou, how do you feel about your toes?
Exactly.
How do you feel about
all my toes?
It feels great. I'll we'll get to look at everybody on stage and give Howie more middle fingers and give Joey really indecent looks and, you know, just make fun of everybody a lot more often.
I got to get Lou more looking forward to it.
That's actually a really good question that you started to answer. What's your favorite part about being on stage in this band? What do you have a different persona that comes upon you when you're on stage?
The fact that with most of the venues we play, I get a lot closer to Frank than I ever thought.
That's why we laugh together so much.
The stages are probably about 8 feet wide. So I'll be like rubbing elbows of Frank, trying not to poke him in the eye with the headstock of my bass.
And that serves a very different kind of music for future songwriters.
Yeah, that inspires me.
And what inspires?
Being up on stage is like, it all depends on like,
you're gonna be
sometimes the venues
cup.
Can be the venues can be a little tight sometimes, and that makes it hard for people to have a really good time. But like at the same time, it's like it's always a blast whenever people come out. I mean, you definitely take on a different persona a little bit. I mean, but it's just more of a magnified you.
Yeah.
You know, it's never not who you are.
Exactly.
It's just you blown up like 100%, you know?
The best way I could describe myself on stage is it's just we just try to have fun and the energy between us and the crowd is pretty cool. I can't tell you what the crowd looks like because I can't see nothing when I'm on.
It looks really good. The crowd always looks really good.
Yeah, I can't see anything. But it's just a ton of energy. Lou, how do you feel about it?
I feel fantastic.
I love the way you guys say each other's names so everybody knows who's talking. Thank you for that. Please keep it up.
Everybody's got a lot of energy. We all act like goofballs half the time. We're all in a band because we enjoy doing it, not necessarily because we want to make money from it or because we want to become celebrities or anything like that. So, you know, it is a really good part or it's a really good... thing that we get to go up there and just be ourselves and be clowns and laugh at each other.
It's just really cool that we get to show people stuff that we created, and actually the feedback, like I said, we've gotten is been unbelievable. So that's definitely a cool part of being in a band to get to play original stuff and people to like stuff that
and
we actually wrote.
You know what? You were asking if we go on stage like a persona rock star. I actually, as weird as it may sound, I don't go on stage to say I'm going to be this rock star tonight. When I'm on stage, I feel more like myself than I do when I'm off stage. You know, like, that's me. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm not on stage, I feel, as silly as this is mopey for me, you know? On stage, I'm like...
He's right. It definitely is Frank. The eyeliner, it's all Frank.
The band,
Not wearing a belt.
Family,
yep. Guys, listen. Yep. As you can tell, we have no money. Someone please buy Frank a belt.
Buy him a belt.
And live shows are...
Well, buy 50 CDs and then he'll get a belt.
Yeah, better idea.
Live shows of the band definitely give you, the ability to pull certain things off that you never would be able to. Like, if we didn't choreograph into a song Frank coming out in a diaper, I think I'd never otherwise would have seen him in a diaper. So, you know, it opens doors.
This is your way of making sure he goes through with theirs.
Right. And seeing him in a diaper. That's the most important part of it.
Yeah.
The best part is when Lou has to change me afterwards.
I like that.
Okay, you boys stop that right now.
Especially the wifey part.
Yeah.
Okay, alright.
Everybody's learning so much about Machino.
I can definitely attest to what Frank was saying before about being on stages. Even when we play, like, the smallest venue, that's pretty much a hole in the wall. Like, I remember we played this one place, like... I don't know, the stage was like a Cheez-It, basically, that we were all standing on, and Frank, there wasn't even any room for Frank on the stage. He actually had to stand, like, off the stage, off to the side. And I've never seen this guy have more fun than he did that night. He was, like, off the stage, out on the side with his guitar, dancing during every song.
I was dancing with the crowd the whole fucking
Yeah, it was great.
It was really cool because a lot of stages are too, like, tall, so, like, you know, it would be difficult for me to, especially with the type of pants I wear, they're so tight I wouldn't be able to climb back on stage once I jump off, you know? But with this, it worked out perfect, and I was able to mingle with the crowd, and I just had a really good time. That was at,
Otto's Shrunken Heads. That was actually a very fun place.
That place is always, I think they only have fun shows at Otto's.
Thank God we didn't have the skit with Howie and the Donkey that night, because they wouldn't have fit on the stage.
There's no way. That donkey was way too heavy.
You just have to witness
him. You have to come to shows and do it. He's like,
That's where the mustache came from.
The main...
All right, I have to hear this now. Tell us a little bit about Howie and the Donkey.
It's Howard Glass the donkey.
Let's say by the end of the show there isn't a dry seat in the house. I think for the most part, like, it's the stage show in general, the main theme is, like, as we stated before, we try to have fun because we see so many local bands these days, they're taking themselves way too seriously. And in today's world, like, you're really not going to get too far if you're, like, always up there with a serious face and, like, just trying to be like, yes, this is our music. We're going to, like, rape it into your mind whether you want us to.
So Howard brings the donkey.
Exactly. So in my bringing the donkey, I bring the fun in.
Yeah.
Diaper's the best plug. I wait all night for that.
Yeah.
And what song was that initially?
It's any random song that Frank feels like. He can see the gleam in my eyes. It's the way I look at him.
Yeah.
It signals.
It's usually lullaby.
Louis' favorite song.
Because my diaper has dragons and unicorns and rainbows on it. You know, it's a Dungeons and Dragons.
And then I get to defeat the dragons when I rip off the diaper and give them to wifey. Sometimes. That's a good idea. Maybe we'll put more glitter on.
I was going to say, I have glitter baby powder.
This is great. This is both an interview and future blackmail material.
You don't even want to know about the knighting ceremony.
Look at me, kid. Oh, God.
Sir Blatt.
Okay, bring it back. Let's come back to reality.
I thought it was Tommy's
We're having fun. It's always a killjoy.
Hey guys, thank you. That was fantastic. Is there anything anybody else wants to say?
Buy the CD, buy shirts at the shows, and buy tickets at the shows. Buy anything with the Machine Elf logo on it.
Yeah. Just spread the word about us as much as you can. We want to get this to as many people as possible because we feel people are going to like it once they hear it. But obviously we can't get to everyone, so, you know, if you guys really like us, check us out, pass it on to your friends, tell your friends about us. We're definitely always looking for more fans. We're always looking for more places to play, and I'm about to fall asleep.
This is Joey Calvary, and I promise you will be entertained.
It's quite late.
Hey, this is Joey Calvary, and I approve this.
I will make sure that if you come out, you will be thoroughly entertained.
And satisfied.
And satisfied.
And see diapers. And donkeys.